This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio, it's Mark Dolan. This is Mark Dolan Eats the News at exactly 12.04 on a Thursday afternoon, and it's a very big day. Our fate as a nation is being decided by David Cameron himself. He's in Brussels, he's pressing the flesh, he's drinking a lot of lattes and cappuccinos, and we are told that by the end of the day there will be a deal on Europe. It's the only story in town, but we've got a lot of big stories to get through after what has been an eventful week. To help me do so, to help me masticate through the big stories of the careful Tiernan. It's Tiernan Duieb. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Listen, it's a real treat to have you here. Let's just kick off with Europe because it's all over the papers. The Daily Mail seems to be running a very consistent campaign of smear against the very notion of the EU. Here's the latest headline. 3 million UK workers are now foreign. David Cameron suffered a hammer blow last night as it emerged the number of EU workers in Britain has rocketed by 215,000 in just 12 months. We also have this very peculiar situation where we are all on tenterhooks to see what Boris Johnson's going to decide to do, which I don't understand because he's in the cabinet, but like in a ceremonial role. I think he basically sort of makes the tea. He's kind of ornamental.
Yeah,
he's up there with the Queen in terms of executive powers.
Yeah, it's just to sort of add to the hair displays in the room.
Yeah, that's it, really. It's just that most of them are so follically challenged. It's nice just to have someone with
that's it. It balances
a good mop.
It out. Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, it's a very, very big day. And by the end of it, apparently, we'll have a deal or we won't have a deal.
Yeah, and I don't think that whether we do or we won't, you know, I don't think it's going to change anyone's minds anyway. I don't think anyone that's definitely wants to be out or in is going to change their mind about it based on what Cameron gets out of this anyway, because his deal is, well, this is the thing that's bothering me as a kind of, I consider myself sort of lefty, and what I want to stay in the EU, but I think there are things I don't like about the EU, and Cameron's reasons for his deal are all completely the opposite to what I want from the, you know, he wants to keep London as a tax haven. Don't do that, that's ridiculous. You know, he wants to get rid of migration or stop EU migration. Actually, I've been looking into it and it's really not a problem. Like, we don't know the exact figures. We get rid of just as many UK people go over to the EU as EU people come here. So if we close borders, we'll have to get all those lazy people from south of Spain back, and I don't want that.
No,
all
that's
those
the last
train
thing
robbing
we need.
Criminals.
I mean, in terms of his renegotiation, it does have echoes to me. There's a couple of things. It's a little bit harsh, but there's a slight element that when he gets to the end of this negotiation, it'll be like Neville Chamberlain with his letter from Hitler. Now, I'm not comparing any figure in Brussels to that of history's greatest dictator, but there was a slight element. Where, you know, this guy is scrabbling around. Maybe it's more like the weapons of mass destruction. It's like they've decided the tack, the strategy for this referendum is going to be the renegotiation. That's why we've got to stay in. It feels like window dressing.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a nice comment, well, I say nice comment, that Cameron made a couple of weeks ago where he said, judge me on my EU deal, which I thought, A, that means what, we're not meant to judge him on all the other awful stuff he's done. That's kind of an easy way out. But also, I think people will, and I don't think it's going to look good for him, however this turns out. I think we're going to judge him going, you've done a terrible job.
Now, I'm going to have to inject a little balance into this debate and maybe even provoke some conflict with the Duieb, which I know it's in your locker. You enjoy a ruck. So here goes. Looking at this renegotiation, maybe there are arguments, like you mentioned the tax status of the City of London and that sort of thing. The fact that what the EU generally as an organisation would like to do is have more of a streamlined tax solution when it comes to financial services, which is all well and good. But financial services are like the backbone of our economy, aren't they? And so the City of London, I think, is responsible for something like 20% of UK GDP. The argument thereby is, if you are to have a set of policies which harm the City of London, harm, like, you know, financial services, that's a little bit like a tax on cheese for the French.
Yes, that is true.
And I love cheese.
Yeah, me too as well. Well, the EU regulates cheese as well, so that's another issue why you might perhaps be opposed to it or prefer it, depending on how you like your cheese. Yeah, that is an issue, I suppose, but it depends on how they streamline. I mean, I think that what they're aiming to do, I suppose, here we go, try and articulate my words properly. The issue that I have is that the government say that they're slapping down on tax avoidance and that they say that it's immoral, and there was the big issues with Google and everything else where they didn't really do that.
Yeah.
And now what they're wanting from the EU is to keep London is an area of tax avoidance. So whether or not it's a good or a bad thing, it's the hypocrisy that I think really bothers me in that. But yes, also the reason that our financial services are our backbone is because all our other industries are a mess. And if we leave the EU, that's going to destroy a whole ton of trade from various other industries. We're going to have to rely on the financial ones even more. So,
I mean, you're right. I mean,
no
it is
simple answer to.
We
any
would
of
so
this.
Much rather have a big manufacturing sector like the Germans do, that we're not reliant on financial services, and also just on an economy that doesn't make anything. It's all just bits of money being shuffled around from one
really
bank
nice
account
if,
to another.
If people bought stuff that was made in the UK rather than we sent a banker over there and he gave you some shares or whatever, you know, it's not very exciting as a souvenir gift, is it?
Well, no, it isn't. It seems like it's a sort of phantom economy, really, that we have in to some degree. And I just wonder whether, you know, the main precedent that could come out of this renegotiation, because I'm desperate for something positive to come out of it. I really don't want it to be like WMDs for Blair, because, you know, Blair decided, OK, here's how I'm going to sell the Iraq war. We'll have the weapons of mass destruction. They never materialise. Cameron's gone heavy on this renegotiation. So far, it's been described as thin gruel. It's nice to hear Dickensian expressions coming back into commonplace language. And that's probably, so far, from what we've seen, that's probably a fair comment, thin gruel. There's nothing seemingly of substance. And it's all being picked away at the moment by lawyers in, well, not smoke-filled rooms, but those special e-cigarette-filled rooms.
Vape-filled rooms, yeah.
And they're sort of having their... So, perhaps it's fruitless. The one thing that could come out of it is this, and maybe this is my hope for the EU, which is, because I'm a massive pro-European, just like yourself, I think I want Brussels to accept within their DNA, within the psychology of the place, and also within the constitution, to accept that within the EU, there are now going to be two types of countries. See, this is the real battle, and this is where they have had an ideological fight for so long. And it's been defined by the Eurozone. You have the Euro countries and the Eurozone countries, and then the non-Eurozone countries like the UK, Denmark, and others. And it seems to me that what has started to hurt Britain is that we are being kind of, we're caught up in this wave of Eurozone policies, which also affect us and affect our economy and our ability to also, you know, make decisions and stuff. If you've got a common currency, you don't really have sovereignty anymore.
No.
You are part of just one big country. Because one of the defining things of a country, apart from a military, is a currency.
Yes, that's true. And it's something I miss about going to Europe, in a way. I miss the francs and the drachmas.
And the lira, feeling like a billionaire. The lira. That's the one. But I just wonder whether it's an important step, as a fan of the EU, I hasten to add, whether maybe it's worth accepting this fudge of two types of country, because then I wonder whether if you've got two types of country, you can then just go on forever, really. It seems to be where Britain is struggling is this, it's the kind of moving towards the United States of Europe.
Yes, yeah, it definitely is. And I think that's definitely part of the scary, you know, element of the EU, is that it's kind of globalization wise, it is just making things into one kind of big single market. Well, no, that's you know, where everything has the same. Well, it's not a single market, is it? Where there's no real competitiveness and there's no real trade. And that is a bit terrifying. But yeah, it does work for Denmark and it does work for other countries. But I think we need to be in it to reform it.
Would you go the other way? Because I read a journalist said actually we should go completely the other way now and join the euro and just really, really get stuck in and
be a big player.
Would
it? It's like, you know, that's the equivalent of someone saying, yeah, we should just get rid of beer from the UK. Like, yes. It will never happen. No one will ever let that happen.
Do you think we will, in your lifetime, we won't see Britain joining the euro?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I can't imagine we'll ever. There'd be too much opposition to it.
Do you think it's, and first of all, are we being, and I'm going to use a football word, are we being a pain in the arse here? Because Britain, I've got family in on the continent in Austria, and they do talk a lot about, you know, Britain's always got its foot on the brake, always wants special rules. They want all the advantages, none of the disadvantages.
Well, that's it. This whole deal that Cameron's doing is basically saying, why can't we have things that are special just for us?
Yeah.
Which sort of ruins the point of a union, in a way. Mm. You know, it's kind of, yeah, hey, we'll be part of this team, but can we put an eye in there somewhere?
Is it our history? I mean, does it boil down?
We're an island, aren't we?
Is it geographical, and is it the fact that we stopped Hitler?
I don't know if it's that bit, but it's definitely I think it's geographical. I think we're an island, we're our own nation. I suppose it's probably less to do with stopping Hitler, but the fact that we once conquered half the world.
Yeah.
Why should we now?
To listen to more of this episode and to catch up on all of our shows, Go to FUBARradio.com.